Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. Each week we dive into powerful messages that help us understand how God's Word is still relevant, offering wisdom and guidance for navigating the ups and downs of life. If you're looking for practical and inspiring biblical teaching, make sure to subscribe so you never miss a message. No matter where you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Let's jump into today's message.
So we can get a shot of ourselves.
BTS, man, here we go.
All right.
You know, I don't want to look like we love each other.
Yeah. Totally do that.
Watched at the end.
Say, hey, before you leave.
But we're going to pray for you, Talladega style. We pray newborn infant Jesus loves you.
That is great.
Today we got the whole family here. In fact, if you're wondering who this guy is, he says he's marrying her next April. Come on.
He liked it, so he put a ring on it.
Hey, the best present we have ever gotten is a son for Christmas. I mean, after we got a daughter. After we got a daughter.
It's a family feud starting right now.
Yeah. Woo, to be preaching on peace, I sure threw a bomb out there to start it, right?
I know. I'm her favorite, so.
Yeah, she is.
You're her favorite son-in-law.
Well, I'm her only son-in-law.
And I'm her favorite daughter-in-law.
That's right.
You just own it.
You can tell we're competitive.
Yeah. I want to read this scripture and then kind of go into a little bit of dialogue, because a lot of times during these seasons, people are going through various phases. Some of you are in the greatest spot in your life, and then other people are going through radiation. A guy I'm talking to right now, he's just going through a difficult time. I remember the first Christmas that I went through without my dad. Some of you suffered that loss, and it's just mental. You're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's my first Christmas without him. And so here's a scripture that's very, very good. I think it'd be a great present for you today. John 14:27 says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give, the gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Don't be troubled and afraid is easier said than done, but I think we're going to talk about some practices bantering back and forth, because I say sometimes the greatest fight to faith is the fight you fight to keep from fighting in your mind. And peace is something you have to grab and you got to hold on to. In fact, I was thinking sometimes when I unwrapped my gifts as a kid, I would take them all and put them in a pile because I didn't want anybody stealing my gifts. You know, everybody thinks in my pile. So today we're just going to kind of talk a little bit about the subject of peace.
Mm. Well, and you know, everybody with Christmas presents and the gifts, Jesus died to give us the gift of peace. And when you said it's the fight you fight to keep from fighting, something I didn't know until recently is Bethlehem, right? Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And I'm like, okay, city of David, whatever. But I didn't know that Bethlehem, okay, it means house of bread, but Bethlehem, Lehem means fighter and warrior. So the city of David was a city of warriors. So a lot of the Jewish people didn't even know the gift they were getting when they got Jesus, right? They never understood that he was the Messiah. But even the disciples, they thought he was born as our warrior. He was the guy who was going to be our king, go to war, and give us a physical victory in this space. And what they didn't realize is that the peace that he was coming to bring wasn't just natural. It was a supernatural peace. It was a gift that he gives us, but it's a gift that we have to receive. We have to take it. That scripture, there's a word right there, and the word is let. And that's the word that kicks my tail every time, because peace isn't about how great Christmas went or what gifts we got or if the kids liked them or not, yeah, or whether or not there was a fight that day or not.
I don't know how to pay for this stuff.
I don't want to talk about credit card statements, but as we're going into the new year, peace doesn't reside in our circumstances. Peace resides in the present that he gave us, right? His gift is his present, and the present is his presence. Mm. And we decide whether or not to step into his presence no matter what's going on around us.
As I was thinking about peace, Jesus gives us peace through whatever circumstance we're going through. Every season, he's there for us to comfort us in a peace that surpasses all understanding. But he also brought peace. He brings peace. You know, in Genesis, when Adam and Eve originally sinned in the garden, you know, Jesus had to come. He had to leave heaven. And like you said, in Isaiah 9:6, he's the Prince of Peace. He brought peace, stepped out into a world of chaos and turmoil and destruction and sin. And so he gives us peace, but he also brought peace between us and God. And so thank God for him and his salvation and what Jesus did. He gives us that peace whenever the world is in chaos. And so now we can take hold of that.
And you think about that, the sacrifice that was to leave heaven and the comfort that heaven was, because I don't want to get out of comfort of my bed in the morning, especially when it's cold in St. Louis, Florida. You don't know about that, but when it's cold in St. I don't even want to get out of my bed. And Jesus left it all to just start out bare and empty.
I heard this line once is let peace be the referee of your heart. And if you have kids this holiday season on Christmas, okay, so paint the picture really quick. We have a 5-year-old, and he is now 5. Wow, that is crazy. And a 1.5-year-old. And they got Christmas gifts, and all of a sudden they both were like, our gifts. And then they wanted each other's gifts. And then all of a sudden we had to step in and be referee in the midst of the toys. I want that. That's mine. And I started thinking about just that peace. Let peace be the referee in our hearts, in our situations. And I was thinking about it and I thought, man, nobody taught them to be stingy. In the words of my sister, she said, being stingy. No one taught us to be stingy. But we have to retrain ourselves to think, okay, wait a minute. I got to go back to this. Let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. He came down. Peace isn't just a feeling. It isn't just an emotion, though it does feel like sometimes I'm emotional. I need some peace. Or what do we tell people? I'm going to give you a piece of me. But really that peace, it's not just a feeling. It is a person. And we can, when we receive him, he is on the inside of us, abiding and living here. Well, let that be that thing that referees. You know what? I'm not going to let my emotions take over. Oh, that's my gift. Wow, we had to spend Christmas at their house. How come always that? I mean, if you're a part of a blended family, can we talk about that for a second? Yeah. Like, you may have been like, man, I had to go to this house or that house, or I don't get to go to my family's house for Christmas. No, let peace be the ruler in that. Let peace be the referee.
I love how it's building on each other. You say, let peace be the ruler in Colossians 3. You just said out Isaiah that he's the Prince of Peace. Yeah. I was just talking about Bethlehem. He's a fight warrior, and he just said you have to fight for your peace. And it's just wild how the Bible just is all linked together, and it tells such a congruent story through the whole thing.
Yeah, I was thinking about it just being different phases. You guys are in this phase where you got these little guys, which we're crazy about, right? And they are so funny. We were talking this morning how this little one's only, he's not even 2 yet, but from day 1, Liam bounced on him and roughed him up. So that's a neat phase in our life, but you guys are raising them. So you guys are in a different phase to where, in fact, Paris came to me the other day and he's like, my gosh, look what you've done. You raised this girl. She's so expensive. The pressure's crazy. How am I supposed to have any peace right now? And she wants to buy everything for everybody.
It's like she's an only daughter.
I'm sorry I told on you, but that's what you said, okay. P.
Finding peace is like so scary sometimes, mm-hmm. in like the midst of like trying to do this. So you're not really thinking about peace. You're trying to really get through like the situation of okay, we got to get this done. So not doing that by myself, but not doing it with her. So it's like trying to find a balance in that. And I think a lot of times finding peace within that is very hard. So sometimes you just got to stay grounded and be like, okay, we're figuring this out together. We got this. Mm-hmm. And just kind of figuring it out.
It's good. It's good work.
I think too, there's internal peace, which is the peace that you have inside yourself. And there's external peace, which is peace that you have with other people. And in every season of life, but especially the holidays, if the enemy can't disrupt your internal peace, he'll try to disrupt your external peace and get you bickering with your sister-in-law or your fiance.
We never bicker.
No, never. We're definitely not bossy, both of us getting together. I love Mel Robbins has the let them theory. So that really helps me is you can't control other people, but you can control yourself and how you react.
Okay, and I love what Peace said, because in Matthew 1:23, it says, Mary will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. And sometimes you're just going through it, and Emmanuel is such a good reminder for us because it means God with us.
Oh, yeah.
So you're not alone in whatever you're going through. Just like Paris said, you guys are working through these situations now together. Mm-hmm. But we also have a together with our Heavenly Father, God, who's with us. And I think about Liam lately, he's been saying this, but I don't want to be alone. He'll say that often, if it's wherever he's, even if it's going to the potty by himself, he's like, but I don't want to be alone. Yeah. I'm like, buddy, you need some privacy. Okay, you need to go handle that business.
We ain't trying to be in there.
But God with us means we're never alone.
Yeah. And I was thinking again, not to keep bringing Paris into this, but yesterday he was working out in the gym and I heard something. And so I went in there with him, and at our gym, we've got like a TV, and he was listening again to a podcast, and it was this guy. And this bearded dude, he's telling the story about being humble enough to admit that you're afraid. And he was talking about how to communicate with your mate. And I was so happy as a dad, because I mean, Ashton's my, she's my baby. So I'm like, look at this guy who's trying to better himself to try to communicate. And I think that's part of the reason why my dad lived a little bit of with no peace, because he was trying to be strong for everybody. The Bible doesn't say be strong for the Lord. He says, be strong in the Lord. And when you realize that your peace is really based on going, God, you got this. I don't know. Even when I can't see it, you're working. I know that you're going to turn this situation around. I know my marriage is going to be okay. And you're like, I don't know if it is. And so a lot of times I just feel the presence of God right now going into your house. As she said a second ago, he is the Prince of Peace. Didn't say he has peace. He didn't just possess peace. He is the creator of peace, and he's permeating your situation right now and touching your heart. And if you'll just receive that and be okay as a dad, sometimes, you know, you want to be the macho guy and say, I'm kind of scared myself right now, you know, but that helps. It brings peace to everybody. Cause when you're trying to be strong, sometimes you look pretty weak.
And the sacrifice of peace was so deep on Jesus's part. And I think the angels and God were so intentional to let us know that, because God is super intentional. In Luke 2, it says that like the angels came. I can't imagine. Like, because the shepherds that were in the field were people who didn't matter, right? It wasn't King Herod. It wasn't royalty. It was somebody who maybe spent Christmas alone, didn't get the invites, felt like you tried everything and pleased nobody. Like, that sucks as a parent, right? Like, you're trying so hard and let everybody didn't quite cross the finish line. And so these guys, man, they were guys from Okeechobee County, Jefferson County, in a field that nobody knows about, and yet the angels chose them. Mm-hmm. And God was intentional about choosing somebody that nobody else saw.
Yeah.
And God chooses you when nobody else is looking, and he speaks in a language that he knows you're gonna understand. Because when we read the Bible, it says, hey, don't be afraid. I bring good news of great tidings for all people. There will be a baby swaddled in cloth, lying in a manger. And we're like, okay, so they're telling them to go look in a manger. No, to the shepherds, what that meant is, hey, you guys raise sacrificial lambs for a living. And you know that the perfect lambs get wrapped in cloth and set in hay so that there's no blemish or no bruise, so that they can be sacrificed.
Beautiful.
So the angels spoke in their language and in one sentence told them, hey, there's a sacrifice of peace being laid in a manger, and you know exactly what to look for. So you think God does not see you, and you think you are not important, and you don't know if God speaks your language, but I'm telling you, he does. Mm-hmm. And I think he's speaking through us today to bring you a peace in your soul that the world cannot bring, so that you can go and bring peace to your world.
And when you worry too much about what's going to happen in 2026, you know, you're watching the news, and is this war going to happen? Is what's the economy going to do? When you set your mind, as Austin said a minute ago, and you keep it set on God and the things of God, and keep it positive, You tend to attract what you think about most. So if you're thinking about negativity, you're gonna go into a negative mindset, and you're gonna go down in the stairs to the basement of depression. Or you could say, you know what? I'm gonna believe what the cranks are saying today. I'm gonna crank it up. I'm gonna reframe my thinking. I'm gonna start doing like Austin and Paris, listening to podcasts that better myself. And you set yourself up, I really believe, for a supernatural outpouring in 2026. And if I were you, and I'm not, but I kind of wish I were, because you're beautiful and young and attractive and blessed and favored. But if I were you, I would make a decision. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and I'm going to get in church. And things might not turn out overnight, but over time they will. And if you think about the stuff that I went through, the pain and the death of my father and the betrayal of my mother, and man, you talk about a hard time. You talk about trying to fight for peace, man. I've done it even last night, because I've got a whole nother set of problems called $21 million worth of church debt, okay? So these are real problems that you have. But if you focus on the problem, you're gonna continue to have more problems. But if you focus on the promise and say, God's never gonna leave me, he's never gonna forsake me, he meets all of my needs. And so when we get out past our skis and we start thinking that we can solve this cancer, we can solve this marriage, we can't fix it. But if we're staying positive, all of a sudden we set our mind, then peace seems to reign a little bit better. There was a time in my life where I never thought this would be possible. I thought I'd never be happy again, I'd never love again, and I was betrayed and hurt living in a basement apartment. And then now I look at what God did, and I want to bring you hope today. I don't know where you are, but I know where you're going, and God's going to work all things together for your good. So you might as well grab a hold of that now and get happy right where you are. Yeah. And I promise you, the quicker you do that, the quicker your peace will show up in a big, big way.
You know, I think some practical ways to bring peace into our hearts, into our lives, is also gratitude. So today I was getting ready and I started thinking about, there's a woman in our church. She's an amazing dream teamer. You guys all know her. Her name's Teresa. I'm sure she's watching today. We love you.
We love Teresa.
And I was thinking about how she's gonna spend this holiday season without her mom. Her mom's in heaven.
Yep.
And
she was a great woman, always at church.
And Earlene was, she was a saint, man. She was amazing. And I just texted her because I was thinking about her, and I thought, I'm not just going to think about her. I'm going to stop what I'm doing. I'm going to send her a text message. Said, hey, I love you. I'm thinking about you today. I'm praying for you. I know that the holiday season without your mom can, you know, might be tough, but isn't it so great knowing that we get to have peace and we're going to see her again someday in heaven? She's in glory. She's in a way better place. One simple moment, even just texting somebody, reaching out to them, letting them know you're thinking about them, that could bring peace to somebody in whatever situation they're walking through.
I love this statement. It says, if peace doesn't rule you, pressure will.
Ooh, that's good.
And I was thinking about it. I mean, the holidays, you know, no matter where you are today, you know, for Christmas, oh, did I get the right gift? Did I not get the right gift? Well, did I meet the expectation of the food the other day, you know, going back a second to Thanksgiving, you know, hosting people and doing food, and are they going to like it? Is the mood right? Are they, it's like all the different pressures. But if we don't look at that, and again, it says, if peace doesn't rule you, pressure will. And A.W. Tozer said, nothing can take the place of the peace of God. Maybe you're at home today. Maybe you feel that as a parent or as a husband, or you're in a relationship preparing for the next step, or hey, you're grandparents and you're leading an organization or family. I just think about how many of us are putting that pressure maybe on ourselves. Don't allow that to be the one that rules you. Allow the peace. And again, as we said all the way back to the beginning, peace is not a feeling. It's a person. Allow God to lead you and guide you. It says, in the way you will go. And one of the things we need to do is just lean into that. And I just think about the scripture. It says, and PD, you've taught this, and Mom, you've taught this to us, is rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Well, that tells me rejoice is a choice. Because I've never seen in the Bible, it's not just going to repeat on accident. It's always with purpose.
I love when you said choose joy, because joy, one of the fruits of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And that love, the second one, most important one, is joy, because when your joy is gone, your peace is gone. And so, you know, going into this next year, we can't do anything about what happened in the past. All you can go back is learn from that. But setting the temperature of expectation that 2026 is going to be a great year. Even if your mind, it doesn't look in the natural like it's going to be. You start speaking those things that are not, believing that they will become. And I let, at the very beginning, we came back to let, I kept hearing, let peace of God, let the rule. You have to decide in your own mind. Things might not be perfect now, but they'll turn out later. I was thinking about you a second ago, seeing you as, you know, he's a grown man, great pastor, leading great organization, but he was just a little kid. Me and Nicole got married. He was seven, right?
Yep.
He was seven. So he had his big people teeth, his little people teeth. He'd live part-time with his dad in Dallas. And my thing was, I saw his dad and immediately blended families. Talk about that a minute. I'm like, who's this guy? You know, because I've seen it in the past. That's what you do, is resist that guy. I'm like, wait a minute, that's not fair to Austin. Austin loves this guy.
And it took us a while, though. It's to be fair to people who have maybe been in this for years or are just getting into that, it took us a while. At first, it was hard.
There's a rub.
You know, he's figuring it out. We're figuring it out. We fought during the parental rights. I mean, we loved Austin. We both wanted Austin. So we fought over Christmas. We fought over Thanksgiving.
I was like, let them have them.
We fought over Flag Day and Columbus Day and, you know, like days in the summertime.
It's my holiday.
At the beginning, there's a lot of friction. But I love what Austin said about choose joy. And because it was maybe 8 years ago, our family goes to Thanksgiving every year. I know this is Christmas, but we go to Thanksgiving. We go to a holiday every year in New York. And for that year, we invited his dad. And we just thought it would be fun. We're like, we can all have our separate things. We decided to do it. But I think 8 years ago is when things like really went another level. We chose to just dive into trust and loving each other as families on another level. And we spent the holiday together. And when Austin sat down to that Thanksgiving dinner in a restaurant in New York, and he teared up. And what did you say, Austin, at the table?
This is a long time ago.
But it was exactly his whole life or something.
Oh, no, I remember the moment like it was yesterday. One of the things I said is, I never thought in my whole life that I'd sit down. I always thought this would be a dream and a fathom, but it was became a reality. Is I got to have both sides of my family that I love so much in one room. And the enemy always told me, I'm just not opening my eyes because I know I'll get waterworks. The enemy always told me it would never happen. And, man.
Yeah.
We had to We had to choose peace. Yeah. Yeah. And it didn't start out peaceful. We did start out peaceful, you know, back in 1997 when we got married. We had to choose peace. Kurt had to choose peace. But we all had to choose, and somebody has to lead it. And maybe today we have to choose peace so we can lead it. Because this past Thanksgiving, Kurt, my ex, Austin's dad, not the guy who married, got abusive. Austin's dad is a good guy. And he's good enough that I let him cook Thanksgiving dinner in my kitchen, y'all. Woof.
He's a great cook.
And do you see those comments? That's why I had to choose peace, like over and over again that day.
You're a great cook.
Because it takes a lot as a mom to invite your ex into your kitchen to cook Thanksgiving dinner for your family. But knowing that it means that much to Austin, it's like, I want to choose that over and over again, but I have to keep the rejoy that you were talking about, Austin, is so important, that re part. I had to keep choosing. And if I don't choose it, I separate my family, but if I can keep myself choosing it, I remember Kurt, did you guys invite Kurt and Gina and to the wedding?
Yeah. Yeah, we love them. They're really
Unfortunately, I missed out on the steaks, but I had to work.
Paris had to work that day.
I missed that joy right there.
Asking for that wedding gift. Let me get them steaks.
I am glad, though, that you said it takes time, because that's, I think everybody's probably like this. You want it right now. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a microwave mentality, but we serve a crock pot God, and it takes time. And I'm glad you stopped me and said, wait, it took a long time. It did. It took years. But then it was so worth it to see our little grandbabies. Seeing both their, you know, they call him Papa Shu, and they call me Papa, and they've just got everything, the best of both worlds. And it might look impossible to you, and in some cases it might be. It's got to be both sides. But as far as the Bible says, as far as it remains on you, you choose peace. And you can be at peace with people, and they're not at peace with you. You're just like, I'm in traffic. You ever had those people over here just crazy? Mm-hmm. And you're like, I'm not looking. It's a choice to not look. But if you stay faithful, you keep doing what Jesus asked you to do, then you'll have peace. And I do, eventually God will work all things together for your good.
But it reminds me of, you know, I've heard you can't control other people, but you can control yourself. And one thing that I love that you've done from the stage so many times is you're like, when you're feeling down in the dumps, you know, your dad said when you were throwing up as a kid, jump, baby Dave, jump. And it's like, that's the last thing you want to do when you're throwing up and not feeling good is jump. But you say you can sometimes just go, ha, 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 ha. And then it starts to get kind of silly and then you end up laughing. But to me, that's been a great reminder, because sometimes I'll be like mad. I'll be, you know, this family is not perfect. We do get in disagreements. I hate to break it to you. This like invisible pastoral wall is, you know, we get in fights about, it could be about flowers or the turkey seasoning, but it happens. And so sometimes you just have to walk away and go, ha, 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 ha. And you get to control yourself in that moment and make the decision to resolve things. And you can't control other people, but you can control how you respond and how you react. And that choosing joy has really helped me in situations like that.
That you're going through like a loss, or you're going through, you know, your car is messed up, or you lost your job or whatever. It's hard to think about it in the moment, like, oh, I can't find peace right now. Like, I'm going through this. So peace is already on the other side. So getting to the other side and kind of doing that quicker is like getting to the nitty gritty of it. Just, all right, things ain't perfect right now. It's not gonna be like this all the time. It hasn't been like this all the time. But getting over to the other side of finding the better half of, I'm already through it. I've already passed it. I'm better now. So doing that quicker is kind of help me sometimes.
And I love the way Paris, you know, I'm just thinking of you sitting here. I mean, when we were getting ready to shoot this, I mean, he's like, man, he's got, this is a whole family of preachers. They've been doing this their whole life. And then I'm sitting here on the couch. What do I say? What do I do? You've done a terrific job, by the way. But Paris, one of the things I love about him, and there's many, but one of the things is he's really in touch with his emotions. He's not afraid to say, hey, this is what I'm feeling right now. And I think that's one of the most important things, that if you could ever get to that point in your life to where you're like, not that I'm going around calling for a ambulance all the time, you know, I'm feeling sad, you know, I'm feeling mad. But by letting people know that you're not a superhuman, that you're just comfortable being you, I really believe in 26, it'll bring you great peace, great joy. And then playing that long game with people and saying you're sorry. How many times could it be? I mean, we did it yesterday. Speaking of that, we were talking about this event at the office yesterday, and I was short with Nicole for a second, and then I realized I was short, and I said more short things, and I'm like, wait a minute. In front of everybody, I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Diffuse the situation. Some people just can't say they're wrong. They're sorry. And that a lot of times can bring peace to the family. Plus, it teaches the family to say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. This is my first. Something I say a lot is, this is my first time being a dad. Or as a pastor, if I've made you mad, it's my first time doing this. I hope to do better next time. But we're just learning. And when you give people grace and you also give yourself grace, because some of you are too hard on yourself. The reason you have peace is, what's up? So we do that. Well, just chill and be like, that's not what I always do. That's not who I am. I messed up once. I'm going to get up, dust myself off, and I'll do better next time.
That's what I love about the community of church, right? Because inside the church community, sometimes, like my mom and my dad, they're great. And my dad doesn't say a lot. Mm-hmm. So it was harder for him to speak, to teach me things. But when we get in a church community, we can get mentored by people and watch how people who are living in a strong Christian marriage with good communication act. Look how people who have been through, hey, I lost a mom. You know, Teresa walked through losing her mom in this last year. And so she can partner up with somebody who's lost somebody. A lot of times this time of year, I'll find somebody who's been recently widowed, and I'll take them and I'll couple them with a couple other people who've walked through widowhood so they know how to walk through the holidays the first time, because it's so hard. So the church community, because it can get so comfortable online, right? Like you guys are probably in your pajamas, and I'm not gonna lie, as soon as it's done, I'm taking these uncomfortable boots off, right? But we're not supposed to be so comfortable in our community of worship that we don't walk in the doors of the community of worship, because the community of worship, corporate worship, the environment of peace.
So good.
That it brings inside of worship, of sitting in a chair and not being able to do the dishes, of receiving the word just dead on, and then the community and the relationships that you build with other people, it builds us in ways that we don't even know about. Yeah.
So church community is so important. In 26, I believe that could be a defining moment in your life to make a decision. It's for me and my house, we're gonna serve the Lord. And I wanna give you an opportunity to serve the Lord. Maybe you're watching today and you haven't connected with Jesus in a while. Maybe your family's sitting around, you're like, hey, maybe in the comfort of our home right now, I could pray it. You could pray it under your breath, but I'm going to lead you in that prayer right now. Say this, Dear Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner who wants to be saved by grace. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead. I make you my Lord and Savior. And from this moment forward, I'm going to go to your house. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to read your book in Jesus' name. Listen, if you prayed that prayer right now, you just got saved and born again. And I know that our church family, you're feeling good about this right now, because think of all the thousands of people that are in their home right now receiving this through Facebook and all technology. And that's what God wants us to do. The Prince of Peace wants to bring peace to everybody. And we just did that. And one of the ways we do that is through your generosity every week, by you being generous and giving, bringing your tithe and offering. That's what keeps this big machine that's a healing hospital on the road to help and change more people's lives.
That's right. And today, if you want to participate in giving, it's the season of giving. We've got to give something to God, right, in this season. You can scan the QR code right here. We know so many of you are so faithful, and we know we don't just give to a church. We get to give through a church to help so many people. And then God will take that investment, that seed that you're sowing, and turn it around and bless your life 30, 60, 90, and 100-fold return. And so today you can scan that QR code right there, and I'm gonna toss it over to you guys to pray us out, just like every Faith Church service. Come on, we do a prayer of blessing headed into the week.
It wouldn't be a true Faith Church service if we didn't do this.
So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face shine upon you and give you love and peace. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. 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 Merry Christmas. We'll see you Tuesday night.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.